Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Today, I want to talk on what I call the foolishness in the heart of children that must be removed before they grow up. The foolishness in the heart of children that must be removed before they grow up. You'll agree with me that every one of us started as a child. Nobody was born as an adult. The unfortunate thing is that if this foolishness is not removed in the heart as a child, you will grow up with it as an adult. Praise God. And when you grow up with it as an adult, it becomes more difficult for that foolishness to be removed. Sometimes it will need prayer of deliverance. So that's why it's important that this foolishness be removed from the heart of children. And as parents, as elder ones, as teachers, God places us with that obligation to deal with these things. Praise God. Today, we see human beings using knife to remove the head of a fellow human being. We have seen people point gun at a fellow human being's head and push the trigger and watch the head scatter. Heartlessness. Praise God. Foolishness in the heart of the children that must be removed before they grow up. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You see, when the Bible says foolishness is bound, it means it is there. There's nothing you can do about it. Young people are prone to foolishness. The cure comes through tough-minded discipline. Now, you agree with me that everyone that grew under a tough-minded, disciplined parent had something going well for them. You see, you may not have all the monies that others have, but you have something that will keep you pure and correct in the midst of money. Amen. Amen. You may not have all the money now, but you have something in you that will still make you a normal person when you meet money that is not your own. Because there are some people that when they meet money that is not their own, he turns them into something else. Tough-minded discipline. Praise God. See, you don't need to be rich to raise your children well. You don't need to have money to be able to put discipline in your children. Because a lot of fathers are thinking, because I don't pay school fees, it's my wife that is paying. Because I don't do this, so he can't talk to his children. So the children can make him a mat. Oh, thank God for the father I had. My father, blessed memory, was not the richest of men. But when you meet him, you know you have met a father. Praise God. Now, there are certain nonsense you wouldn't do whether he gave you food in the morning or not. You don't have a right to do it. Because I have seen daughters become prostitutes under the watch of their fathers and mothers simply because they can't provide house rent. So they allow her to sleep around so that they can pay the rent. May you not be such a father. May you not be such a mother. No matter how proud you are, you will never be proud to introduce your 13-year-old daughter to your friend that just had a second child. And say, my friend, I want to introduce you to my 13-year-old daughter. This is just her second child. You won't be proud to do that. So understand that foolishness abounds. But God wants us to be strong. You can look at foolishness and call it foolishness. In some houses, you see a fight between father and mother just because of the child. Why are they fighting? The father is saying to the mother, you shout too much on the child. You hit them too much. Or the mother is saying, why are you treating this child as though they are not your children? Just because the father said you will not eat today because you came back late. One day hunger will not kill the child. Amen. A pastor is not sending you to starve your children anyway. I told us this story, how I took 28 out of, is it 38 in my class? And my teacher wrote on my report card, promoted on trial. And I brought the report card home. My father said, this nonsense must end. Tomorrow morning, you are not eating from morning till the next morning. I didn't eat. He said, go to the church and fast. Tell God to give you wisdom. Amen. Promoted on trial in my house. He said, this nonsense must end. One day dry fasting in primary 3. He finally supervised me in the church. That I didn't drink water for one day, not six to six. I mean six this morning till six the following morning at my age. And that nonsense stopped from that day. Amen. The next position I took was fourth. And from there I am here today. Of course you know that I will not be a dollar in class and be talking the way I'm talking like this. Praise God. Back to Proverbs 22. Foolishness rests in the heart of children, but the rod of correction will drive it far. The position of the Bible when it comes to foolishness in the heart of children is very clear. Many things may be in there in the heart of a child, but the Bible mentioned that foolishness abounds. In other words, foolishness has a greater proportion of everything you can find in the heart of a child when the child is born. Foolishness abounds. In other words, it is inborn. In other words, it is indwelling. In other words, it is interwoven in their nature. In other words, it has a place. We can say that foolishness is a default trait in every child's heart. You don't have to do anything for it to come. It is just there. Praise God. You don't have to do anything special for your child to exhibit foolishness. The thing is just there. You don't need to be careless for your child to be foolish. It is just there. Whether the child is born with silver spoon or without silver spoon, this foolishness is there. So regardless of the background, whether it's the child of the governor or the child of the native doctor or the child of the pastor, foolishness abounds in the heart of every child. Some of us as adults, we never had parents who dealt with this. So we grew up to become the kind of men we are. The man that can lock his wife up inside a room and go for work and come back. The room is not open. He doesn't care whether the woman eats or not. That man that is doing that did not just become like that. The thing was there right from inside. Praise God. There was nobody to drive it out. That man that can point a gun on another person's head and just pull the trigger, it's been there. Somebody needed to have driven it out. Somebody needed to have driven into your body, into your heart, that the soul of another man is very precious. Praise the Lord. Hello? What are the foolishness? I'm going to mention some of them. Take note. Number one, nakedness. Children likes to be naked. How many of you agree with me? If you have a child, you know children likes to be naked. Put them clothes, and before you know it, they remove the clothes. Maybe it's because the Bible says, naked came high to the world, and naked shall I return. So, children likes nakedness. Sometimes they intentionally put off their clothes, children. And every parent must train his child to know that fashion is not about how much clothes you take off. Fashion is about how much clothes you put on. But today, we have been given a wrong definition of fashion. Today, fashion is defined as how much clothes you put away. And we have our children who are dressing almost half naked. Amen. How can you put on clothes and places that ought to be covered and not covered, and you call it fashion? You must watch it. Because it's gradually leading to madness. Take a look at your father's picture and see the kind of trousers they used to wear. They call it bongo. You wear enough clothes. In fact, for you to sew a trouser, you don't just need a trouser length. But today, fashion is telling us that it is okay to remove clothes. Take clothes away. And we are beginning to see people taking clothes away from their body, especially ladies. And it doesn't matter whether they are in the church or in the market. You just see people, and I say madness. This is people that are sane, but they are also mad. Listen to me. If you are a child of God, teach your children to be different from the world. If there's no difference between you and the man who doesn't know God, then there is no need coming to church. The Bible says, and we shall return, and then we shall know the difference between him that serveth God and the one that serve him not. You see the music you are dancing to, with a big Bible in your car. As far as you are concerned, the Bible in your car is just to protect you against accident, but not to do what is written in it. May God deliver you. Christians with big Bible and very small spirit. Don't take clothes away. Put on clothes. That's what fashion is. Cover yourself up. Look reasonable. When you want to go for an interview, you check for the best clothes that will cover you, because you know that you can't afford to dress anyhow. So you look for a skirt if you're a girl, a cloth that will cover you. They say corporate. And you go there and appear corporate. And they will think you are somebody. Amen. Amen. Our children want to be naked. Oh, my children, put them clothes, and before you know it, they remove it, even to the pampers. And you see them jumping naked. They don't know what is happening. Children have those tendencies. But it is in the place of the parents to teach them how to clothe. Praise God. Are you a mother? Don't get excited. I said, no, it's their time. It's their time. I was coming from somewhere at Woji, and I saw a woman walking with her daughter. I guess that girl should be about 18 or 19. The woman well dressed. Well, you see what the daughter was putting on. And I'm wondering, say, why didn't she wear the same thing? See what the daughter is putting on. You know, sometimes I see some ladies outside and I begin to wonder, did she come from a house? Did your mother see you before you left home? Did your father see you and didn't ask you to get back inside the house and dress properly? Amen.
Amen.
Father, mother, look at it. Because if they grow up with it, you may not like it. Number two, another foolishness in the heart of children that must be driven away is what I call indecision. Indecision. Oftentimes, children are never firm with their decisions. They can be here now and they can be there in the next moment. This foolishness must be driven out fast. Teach them firmness and stability in decision. Teach them that flexibility is not a weakness, but should be carried technically. Teach them firmness. Children are not often firm with their decision. And there are adults like that that have grown up with such foolishness. I don't know whether to marry or not to marry. That's why he's still single. He can't decide. He has 7 beautiful girls. All of them okay to be wife. And he's still looking. I don't know. The other time somebody told me that if you marry, you are putting yourself in prison. And then the other time, another person told me that marriage is the best thing that can happen to a man. What do I do? He's just there. Indecision. Teach them to be firm. Praise God. Number three, another foolishness we must drive out is wrong decision. Children are prone to wrong decisions. They don't have a well-articulated heart or reasoning. Thus, they can do anything they want. This explains why a child can cry for what will ordinarily hurt him or her. Wrong decisions. You can't be clapping for your children when they are always jumping on the chairs. I'll always tell my children, the chair is not the bouncing castle. There's a difference between the chairs in your house and the bouncing castle in school or somewhere else. So when they jump like that and begin to jump, bring them down and say, no, you don't jump on chairs. We do what? We sit on chairs. Because if you don't, one day you will take them to your friend's house and you see them jumping on the friend's chair. And instead of the friend looking at you and talking every time, the friend is looking on this chair. These children go spoil my chair. God, just let the parents go fast. Some of us have had such visitors. Hello? You are just wondering, what is wrong with these children? Amen?
Amen.
And you, the mother, you don't know what to do again. So teach them. As they are jumping on the chair, they want to sit on the television. That's a child. Bring the child down. Say, we don't sit on television. We watch the television. Amen. Wrong decision. Tell them what to watch and what not to watch. Children are prone to wrong decision. They can just do anything. Please, let's teach our children the right decisions per time. Amen.
Amen.
Another foolishness we must deal in the heart of our children is indiscriminate association. Children are most of the time careless with association and relationship. Teach your children how to avoid those who didn't like you. Because the enemy of a father will likely be the enemy of a child. You see, when Solomon was to take over the throne, David called Solomon and said, there are some men that you need to be careful with. I'm not talking about the person you may have misunderstanding with in church. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the person you're having misunderstanding with in your neighborhood. And you begin to tell your child, you see that what is a wicked woman. That's not what I'm talking about. You are creating enemies for them. There are enemies you know. Teach your children how to be discreet with their relationship. Everybody cannot be your friend. Praise the Lord. Everybody cannot be your friend. No matter how you like them, everybody cannot be your friend. So we must teach our children this. They can even have dinner with a nice looking devil. You know, children can have dinner with a nice looking devil. So it is our duty to teach them who a devil is and teach them how to use a long spoon. How many of you read this book, The Little Snake and the Little Frog? Wonderful story. Praise God. The mother of the little frog have told little frog that this one you are frolicking with the little snake, that we are food for them. Amen. And the mother of the little snake have told the little snake, that frog that is your friend is not supposed to be a friend, is your food. When you grow up enough to eat it up. And one day, the little snake have grown to become a big snake. And he now invited little frog to come home. He said, come home. By this time, little snake had already prepared the spoon, everything that he will use. Because the mother have told the little snake that frogs are our food. And so, the little frog went and stood at a long distance. And the little snake said, come in now, come in now. And the little frog said, what your mother told you? My mother also told me. I love that story. Amen. Amen. You have a mother that will tell you something that can make you withdraw, that can make you know where to enter. We need such parents. We need such fathers. We need such mothers that tell my son, it is not the way you are looking at it. Can you look at it from this angle? Praise the Lord. And you are a child here. When your father is talking, listen. When your mother is talking, listen. I hear some children say to their parents, I am of age. I am of age. How old are you? 22. Because you are just 22, you are saying your mother, I'm of age. You don't know what she has seen. You are just 20 and you are telling your father, I am an adult now, simply because in Nigeria, when you are 18, you can vote. You think that voting right is living right. It's not everyone that can vote that can live well. Praise God. And as I'm talking as a father. In case you don't have a father again, you say, my own is good. There's no father that can talk to me anyhow. I'm here. And I intend to be here for a long time. Praise God. So you listen to your father. Sometimes you want to travel and your father say, you don't need to travel. Listen to your father. Listen to your heavenly father. Because you don't know what God wants to do. Amen. When God is saying, don't move, it doesn't matter the pressure you have to move. Don't move. Let anything go. Praise God. Be alive first, and we can talk about it. So listen to your father. Listen to your parents. You don't know what God has put in them to say to you. You know, out of the 12 sons that Jacob had, he had one daughter. The name was Dinah. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. We must try to teach our children how to be far from the daughters of the land. Your children must not look like everybody's child. Praise God. Daughters of the land. Some of us parents are ashamed of the children we have. I'm telling you the truth. Some of us. Is this my child? How does she turn out this way? How does he become this way? You have lost all the power to control the child because there are certain foolishness you didn't deal with growing up. Praise Jesus. Am I talking to somebody today?
Yes, sir.
You can be a nice father, but when you need to be hard, please be hard. Because there and then your children will know that we have a nice father, but we also have a father who knows where the cane is. Praise the Lord. We have a father who knows how to shout when he's supposed to shout. Number 5, indiscipline. Children are not often born with discipline. Yes, children are not often born with discipline. They ought to be trained and taught how to live life with discipline. Indiscipline is one trait in every child And that foolishness, if allowed, can lead to a lot of regrettable actions. Children are not often born with discipline. So children, they are prone to living life like they are living on their own land. Indiscipline. But we need to train them. Train them that we don't wee in the house. We don't poo in the house. There's a toilet to do. And when you finish using the toilet, you flush it. Train them how to wash their hands when they finish eating. Train them how to say thank you when they finish eating, even if the food is your own. Train them how to tell you thank you. Tell them how to tell you good morning, daddy. Good morning, mommy. And good morning to every other person in the house. Good morning to themselves. Train them. If you don't do, you will end up having children who are like adults. Praise God. Train them how to relate with people who are bigger than them. I'm telling us the truth because some of the adults we have become, we don't like it. So you can't allow your children to be like you. Amen. I'd like you to be a proud father and proud mother. If your children look like you in the future, what kind of man will he be? Amen. Is there any mother here that can say, I want my daughter to be like me? Then I can say, you know who you are. I want my son to be like me. Every doctor wants to raise a doctor in his family. Every man who is a lawyer wants his child to become a lawyer. But are you sure you will want your child to be the kind of wife you are in your husband's house? Are you sure you will want your son to be the kind of father you are to them? So we train children to be disciplined. Put inside of them what it takes. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. I am my father's son. It is possible that I wouldn't have been a pastor today. Amen. I don't know whether you are listening to me. It's possible I wouldn't have been a pastor today. It's possible I would have been carrying women around and smoking. I'm still my father's son. But may you not raise children who you are not proud of. May you have children that even in the grave, if it is possible to see in the grave, you say, thank God for that, my son. Teach them discipline. Number next, laziness and idleness. Oh, every parent must ensure as a matter of importance that their children are taught the importance of hard work. Don't bribe your children to be good, but make them know that there's a reward for being a good child in your house. Amen. See, don't tell your child, go and wash the plate, I will give you gala. But let the child know that if he wash the plate, there's a reward for doing something good. And don't be a parent that cannot reward your children very well. Don't bribe them. Some parents are bribing their children. You bribe them to be okay. See, if you are quiet throughout today when I'm discussing with my visitor, I will give you ice cream. That's bribery and corruption. The FCC will soon be after you. Amen. Amen. Teach them that they have to be quiet without pay. You don't need to pay them to be quiet. You don't need to pay them to behave good. Laziness. A lot of children like it. And some adults have grown with that foolishness and have become lazy. Have you not seen some wives? They can't carry spoon. Hey, bring spoon there for me in the kitchen. Bring oil there for me. Bring Maggie. She's just stationary. May God deliver you. If your house girl doesn't come back from school on time to wash the plate, your husband will come back home and the whole place is messed up. Why is this place messed up? Why is the house not swept? Her dad didn't come back on time. Lazy woman. It didn't start there. It started when growing. Teach them hard work. The Bible says, for every labor there is profit. You can't be having a 15-year-old daughter and you still need the house help. Some of us have ended up training our house girls to become housewives and training our daughters to become mistresses. Your house help know how to cook. Your daughter doesn't know how to cook. So when she finally gets married, the only thing your daughter knows is indomie. She can't even cook it well. Amen. Train them. Hard work is good. You see, if a woman doesn't know how to cook, she's in trouble. Big trouble. Oh, my husband used to give me only 3,000, only 3,000. How can 3,000 make a good pot of soup? Ask my mother. There was a time my father used to give her 300 naira. And yes, we will still eat soup according one. Today they give you 3,000 naira, you are complaining. Amen.
Amen.
What is pastor talking about? Laziness. Wash your clothes. Machine is good, but also learn to use your hand and wash. Because one day machine will spoil or nepa and will not bring light. You know now. Learn to iron your clothes. Teach your children how to do that. It will be good. Amen. Number 7. Stubbornness and rebellion. There is a spirit called the spirit of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. This spirit makes children rebel against authority. Beginning from the authority at home. I call it the leave me alone spirit. You must wage serious warfare against this spirit in your children. Have you heard it from a child before? Who taught the child to say, leave me alone? Amen. You don't allow that spirit to stay long. Leave me alone, I want to be naked. Leave me alone, I don't want to eat. Leave me alone, I don't want to take drugs. Force them out, put the drugs inside. Amen. Stubbornness and rebellion is there. Children want to naturally be landlords. They want to be independent. But God wants us to teach our children how to come under our control. It will help us wage serious warfare against it. Otherwise, if they grow up with this foolishness unattended to, they will become beasts of human beings. Number 8, gluttony. Every child wants to eat more than is necessary. Long throat. You can call it like that in pidgin English. Gluttony. Children have this tendency. You see, no matter what they eat at home, if they see it outside, they want to also eat it. It is in our place to teach our children how to be satisfied with what you can give to them. Praise the Lord. Children like too much of everything. And this foolishness must be checked by parents. Even God, as loving as he is, he doesn't give to us what we want all the time. He gives to us what is needful, what is best for us. Praise the Lord. So it's not every time the child wants ice cream. If you keep giving the child ice cream every time he wants it, the child will lose his teeth very early in life. And you won't like what the child is looking like. And please, teach your children how to depend on God. Amen. Let them also know that what you are giving to them, that God is giving you to do. So that they will also know how to ask God to give them something. Amen. Every of my child that celebrates birthday, one thing I do, I bring them to church. When I bring the child to church, I'll say, tell God what you want. You know what I'm doing? I like them to begin to understand that you can actually relate with God. I bring them to this place, I say, kneel down, tell God what you want. And then the child will just say anything. And God understands the language of the children. And when the child finish, I now pray. Teach them to also depend on God. Teach them to understand that it's not about you alone. So that if for any reason you are no longer there, the child can say, my father is not there, but God is there for me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Number 10, carelessness. 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 This is the hallmark of the foolishness of children. Everything is taken for granted. They can eat sand. They can rub themselves in the mud. No matter what they are putting on, you need to drive this foolishness away. Children tend to be careless. We need to deal with it. You see, if you don't deal with it, some adults have grown up to become careless adult. Careless adult. Careless adult. Careless adult. You care very little about what is happening around you. Care very little about what is going on. You see, you enter some people's houses and you never want to repeat your visit. Amen. Hello? Carelessness. Enter some people's houses and you'll be amazed whether you enter in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the night. Except they know that you are coming. And then they will tidy up everything. And you will still catch them because you see some cobwebs around. That one they didn't see it. Amen. Carelessness. We must be careful with things. Very careful with things. I talk a lot about my father because I learned a lot from my father. If you enter my father's bedroom after I finish bedding, you hardly know that somebody bed there because it's going to take time and clean up the place. If you touch my father's soap, Kai, he knows that somebody has touched his soap. Touch his cream, he knows that somebody has touched his cream. And you are wondering, how did he know? He will tell you this cream, the last time I took it, this is the angle I took it from. Amen. So he's not careless about his things. My father taught me how to hang clothes in the wardrobe. He said to me, you see the way I'm hanging my clothes? All his clothes, all the hangers will face the same direction. When you are hanging, all the hangers, some of you are learning now as an adult, when you go check your wardrobe, all the hangers will face the same direction. He said the reason is because if something happens and you want to remove your clothes all at once, as soon as you put your hands like this and pull them, the whole hangers are coming out. But if the other one was hanging opposite, as you pull it, the thing will be forcing you back. And today in my wardrobe, that's how I hang my clothes. My father taught me how to hang shirts differently, t-shirts differently, trousers differently. So you know when you are looking for a trouser, you know where to go. Even if there is no light, you just go there, put your hand like that, you know you are going to get a trouser. Praise God. Is somebody learning anything here now? Some of us, everything is just like that. Udwabu. Oil meal. Your house is oil meal all the time. God deliver you in Jesus' name. Carelessness. Unhealthy competition and rivalry. This is another foolishness we must drive out from children. Children like to compete with each other. Some of this competition is good, but if we allow it for them to take it to the extreme, it can become bitterness. That was the reason why Cain killed Abel. Unnecessary rivalry and competition. Let your children know that all of them are not the same. All of them. They can't always be the same. This one will be fair. This one will be dark. You know how to treat them with love. So that competition is there. But let's teach them how to make this competition very healthy so that nobody will go to the extreme. Nobody will be like Cain and say, why did God accept my brother's own and not my own? So rather than me staying without my sacrifice being accepted, let me kill my brother. Cain killed Abel because of unnecessary competition. Praise God. Teach your children that this one can be bigger than this and yet we still share relationship. If I am rich and my brother is not as rich, we can still be brothers and sisters. We don't need to start fighting each other and see the one who will be the richest. Three more, selfishness. Most children are not generous, even from birth. Amen. Teach them how to be generous. Most children are not generous, even from birth. Little one that they born with their fists closed. Have you seen a child? When the child is born, their hand is closed like this. That's a sign of stinginess. Now, that's my own opinion. Amen. So children are not generally generous. But we teach them how to give something. Now, there are some children that are very crafty. You are the one that gave to them. For them to give back to you is a problem. It's there in children. So we must teach them. Teach them to be generous and drive out the foolishness of self-centeredness from them. Amen. Sometimes you give them something and ask them to give you back. Amen. When you are also generous, children learn from you. Two more. Wastefulness. Wastefulness. Thank you, Jesus. This tendency to waste things, no matter how precious or expensive, is always in the children. Wastefulness. They like to waste things. Some of us have bought and bought and bought and bought. In fact, as a father, as a mother, there are certain things you don't buy in your house because you have children. Because they are going to break it. It doesn't matter how much. Sometimes you feel like biting your child for spoiling your gold earring. And the child is smiling. Praise God. Smile on you like this. She just pull on your expensive lace. And you are so angry. And then the child looks at you and smiles. Amen. Amen. It is in the nature of the children to waste things. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son wasted all that his father gave to him. You can buy an expensive phone only for your child to intentionally put it inside the bucket of water, wondering what the phone could turn into inside water. That's the child for you. He said, this is my father's phone that is always ringing. Let me put it inside the water. And the child, not mistakenly, deliberately, puts the phone inside water and is looking what that phone can turn to inside the water. And you are wondering, this child, that's a child. So you teach them not to be wasteful. Lastly, vengefulness. Children often want to seek revenge for every offense against them, especially by their peers. It is foolishness that must not be given a place. Teach them forgiveness by forgiving them when they do wrong. Amen. Vengefulness. Children want to take vengeance. They want to do you back. When you beat a child, especially a fellow child beat a child, he wants to beat the child back. I see it a lot in my twins. Some of these things I'm saying it from experience. Praise God. They want to fight. Amen. Children want to be vengeful, and we must teach them forgiveness. One of the ways you teach your children how to forgive is you learn to forgive them when they do wrong. It's not every offense that merits a cane. It's not every offense that merits a discipline. Some fathers have locked their children out of the house for reasons they shouldn't lock them out of the house. The question is, when you lock the child out of the house, is it becoming better outside? Bring the child in, sit the child down, and talk to the child. And say, this thing you have done, you are not supposed to do it. And this is how not to do it. Rather than say, you are not going to enter this house for 3 days, I can guarantee you that if she's not in your house, or if he's not in your house, he's in another person's house. And it could be a Satan's house, a demon's house, or the uncle of Satan. And after those 3 days, when you finally accept the child back, it is no longer the same child that you sent away. So sometimes we sit our children down. No matter how small they are, children, they hear, they have a very big heart. Praise God. They may be small, but sit them down, talk to them. They will listen to you and listen to you. A prayer for you is that your children will become what you will be proud of in the future. That when you rise up in the morning, you will look at them and say, thank God for giving me these children. And I pray for every adult here that God will make you a child that he will be proud of.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.